Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now exactly 19 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Baam and I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. Joining us online, we have is Manana Zahir Ahmed Raghib. Manana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we take this opportunity of greeting our listeners at Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Manana, we were discussing the commentary of Suratul Kahf. We did the first story, we completed the first story which Allah mentions in Suratul Kahf, and we began with the second story, that is the ayats from ayat number 32, where Allah mentions, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا. That is, relate to them the example of the two men, one was a believer, the other not a believer. We had granted one of them two orchards of grapes, that is of vineyards, and surrounded by date palms. In addition to this, we had grown a plantation of crops between the two. Thereafter Allah mentions, كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا. That both orchards bore fruit, and we did not withhold anything from him. We even caused a river to gush forth between the two so that irrigation was easy for him. We mentioned that the second story, it's a test of wealth, test of materialism. The man whom Allah had given extreme wealth, here Allah describes the temporary jannat that, of the people of this world. And we do desire for these bounties. And once we get these bounties, we should not forget who Allah is. I think that's where we stop, Ma'ana.
Ji, Ma'ana. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As we had said last week, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the second story of the surah, and this story addresses the issue of materialism and the test of materialism that we will be facing in this world. We also must recall that one of the significance of the surah is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that whoever recites Surah Kahf on Fridays will be protected from the fitna of Dajjal. And among the fitna of Dajjal, and we see that more apparent as we come closer to the end of times, is that materialism will be on a rise and people will be tested through this. And it is necessary for us to remain focused that whatever there is, this world is a temporary world. Now, in this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us basically like an asset register, an income statement, a balance sheet of this person who had been granted the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a detailed description of his assets. Now we continue, and ayah number 34 of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكان له ثمر فقال لصاحبه وهو يحاوره أنا أكثر منك مالا وعز نفرا. وكان له ثمر, Allah says he had fruit. Now the word fruit, وكان له ثمر, could be the way of saying the one who had fruit happened to be there. Or another way of looking at it could be that this gardener, the owner of the two gardens, he had fruit, so it was one of those seasons where his produce had given him tremendous yield, and his market or his garden is now filled and loaded with fruit from his garden. Now, while he is in this position of having all of his produce and the yield of his orchards, فَقَالَ لِسَاحِبِهِ, he says to his companion. Now, he had a companion and we spoke about that. فَقَالَ لِسَاحِبِهِ, it is someone you've sahib. Sahib is derived from the word sahab, so like how we use the word for sahaba. It's for someone you spent a long time with, someone you've accompanied for a long period of time, and you've known each other really well. So it could be this person that he's talking to, his neighbor or a friend. وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ, حَاوَرَ يُحَاوِرُهُ, originally comes from the word حَارَ, which means رَجَعَ, to go back or to come back to. So here it is giving an indication that these two people of the garden, the two owners of the two gardens, The one is the one who had two gardens, and the other who did not have that much. They were companions and they were friends, they could be neighbors. And the idea here is they were speaking to each other. And they were posing questions to each other and they were having a discussion. So both of them were asking each other questions that required the other to answer, and they were going back and forth. And that's the meaning that we get from the word hawara. فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ, while they were having this conversation. In other words, they were having this conversation, and he, the owner of the two gardens, in fact, was the one that was going back and forth in conversation with him. It is, in Arabic, we call this a jumla haliya, which means that he had all this fruit. Then he said to his friend, while he was engaged in conversation, the idea is that now that he has his, you know, total yield from his orchard, things are looking good, and he's on his way to benefit from his yield, to go to the market and sell, and he sees his friend. And they stand and they start having a conversation. So he speaks to his friend. So he picked up the time to speak to his friend when he was out in his full glory and was in a position where he expected people to praise him. So that's why Allah says the word faqala. The word fa means he picked up the opportune time. The other thing is that the people that have this kind of bling and things that they want to show off, they are usually expecting for someone to ask or for some comment from someone. And it seems that this person did not get a comment or a praise. So he didn't get what he wanted. In this conversation, it is like, you know, sometimes when the person wants attention drawn to himself, he makes a comment about his companion. Example could be that you see and you have some good clothing on and you want someone to comment about your clothing, and you tell the person, hey, you're looking good today. Or, for example, you've lost some weight and nobody's observing it, so you tell the other person, it seems like you've lost weight, to draw attention to yourself. So this is what's happening, and this is the scene that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing for us. So they were engaged in this conversation, and the owner of the two gardens was expecting that his companion make a comment about how much he has and how good his income statement looks and how favorable is his balance sheet, etc. But he gets no such comment from his friend. So he decides that he is going to be the one that is going to initiate the conversation. So that's what you get a feeling here, and that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually giving us an indication of the scene here. So you could then say that yatahawaran, which means that two of them were talking, but Allah did not use the plural. He said, wahuwa yuhawihi, the owner of the two gardens is initiating this discussion. And it is like he's hoping to be asking a question that he can answer, but he isn't getting that. So he decides, anyway, you know, let me just say what I want to say, and let me just make a statement about how I feel. And then he makes the statement, and he says to his friend, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. And this was the point he wanted to get across, and the thing he had been waiting to say. In other words, now he stopped pretending in his conversation. And we see the psychological struggle of this person, really badly wanting to show off. But he wants to show off in a subtle way that falls apart, and then his true colors come out, and they are captured in the language of the Quran here. And he says, I am more than you when it comes to wealth. أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالٍ. I have much more wealth than you. And the other subtlety is that while he was in the midst of conversation, answering some other questions, he slipped in this statement, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَعَزُّ نَفْرًا. I have far more money than you, and I have far more people working with me. It is pretty obvious that the other farmer didn't ask him, do you have more money than I do? No, he was probably answering some other question about something else, but the owner of the two gardens just slipped the fact that he has more money. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling us the entire elaborate story in which this gardener embedded these hurtful words. And I say this, that these were hurtful words, because we learn as the story unfolds how Allah addresses this pride and this arrogance and this immersing in consumerism and materialism. Allah just said, in the midst of the conversation, Allah wanted to get the point across of this person's internal satisfaction, that he wanted to feel that he is more wealthy, he is better off than the other person. He could have even said it in other ways, but the way he did say it was that I am more when it comes to wealth. Not my money is more. So to him, it's the idea that he is worth more, and his value is perceived by what he owns. He perceives his value by what he owns. Now, this is a very fundamental psychological problem, and that is being over materialistic, deeming your worth on what you possess. So the car you drive is an expression to what you are worth to yourself and possibly to others. People have an allure of wanting to be associated with things that have a large worth. And what did he say besides his wealth? He said, وَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. In other words, I don't only have lots of money, and I don't have more money than you, but I also have far more people working under me. My company is far bigger than yours. I have so many people working for me, my children and all of that. So authority and respect. So he has more authority in terms of manpower, sons, employees or whatever, and he has a lot of money. So in his mind, he has more prestige. Now, if you understand this imagery that Allah is painting for us about the surah, or about this example of the man of two gardens. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a detailed balance sheet of this person, of all that he has. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now describing for us his mental psychological state, the pride and the arrogance that he has within himself. And he feels that he's more in money and more authority of manpower and people and sons and employees gives him more authority and prestige. Now this is his defining characteristic, and this is what he wanted to slip in during the conversation. There is another psychological insight in this ayah. These kind of people that have so much and always have this urgent need to express what they have don't actually feel good about themselves until they put someone else down. And this is another psychology of people who have a lot of wealth and who have lots of people working under them. They will always use that to put others down. They will always use that to express their higher position. And this has become a very common phenomena in the business community today. And this is the whole test of materialism. So with this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to tell us the lesson from the section of the surah. This lesson ties in beautifully with the main lesson of the surah itself. The lesson of the surah, which we must remind ourselves of here, is that knowledge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a consequence of which only He subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be the legislator. The one to tell us how to live on an individual level and on a social level. This is realization that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to come to. This is a lesson for us from the surah. But what is the main impediment which prevents us, which blocks us from coming to this realization? What is it that prevents us from accepting and acknowledging the overall knowledge and authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What prevents us from submitting our will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's arrogance, ego, pride, being full of oneself. When you think of yourself as something more than his slave, if you think of yourself more than just being a servant of Allah, when you think that you yourself have some worth independent of him, that is when you think that you can think of yourself and make your own decisions about everything. That is when you think that you can live by your own law instead of by Allah. It is when you have arrogance. And this is the root of rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This arrogance is actually the seed of all evil. Wealth, material belongings, together with that having an army or lots of people working for you, lots of children, coupled with arrogance, is the seed of all evil. And this story is actually addressing that test of the times that we are living in. The demon that will take us away from submitting to Allah and to His laws. Now the next question to ask, what was the cause of arrogance? What is the cause of arrogance? How does this demon first begin to fester in the soul of a human being? It is when one is given more and more and more of this world. And the more of this world that one has been given, the greater is the chance that they will be among the arrogant. Because being provided of this world makes one forget one's utter need and dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we have to watch out for. This is the lesson for us here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us this lesson by telling us of this man to whom He subhanahu wa ta'ala had provided all of these bounties. What was the consequence of him having all these bounties and luxuries? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the next part of the ayah, and so he said to his companion, while he was in deep conversation with him, he slipped in his own psychological insecurity, his own psychological, position. And he said, أنا أكثر منك مالا وعز نفرا. I am greater than you in wealth, and I am mightier in respect of men. This man had a companion, he had a friend. He had someone that was close to him. What we can see from this ayah is that this person was close to him. He was in the middle of a deep conversation with him. They were both speaking with each other, and they had been for some time. And then in the middle of the conversation, in the middle of the talk, this man with the wealth makes a statement. He says, I am greater than you in wealth, and mightier in respect of men. What he does is, he praises himself. He puts himself above his companions. He considers himself to be greater than his companion. In two respects, in wealth and in the respect of people. These words of his were so displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By boasting and arrogance that I have more money than you and I have more people with me, these words were displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded it in the Quran for all times. So up until the day of Qiyamah, each time we recite this ayah, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَعَزُّ نَفْرًا, we should bring this effect to our mind that boasting and showing off of what we have is extremely displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah took it upon himself to record this conversation in the Quran and recorded the arrogance and the ego and the pride of this person. Allah tells us about the speech of this man so that we would know just how displeasing the speech was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we were to save ourselves from such speech, if we were to save ourselves from such a state of mind, then inshallah there are several lessons that we can take from this ayah. The first is that we must try to avoid idle conversation. Notice how this man made the statement while he was in the middle of a long conversation. When we are around people, when we spend a lot of time with people, when we talk for a long time with people, that is when we tend to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is when we become among the heedless. Our hearts become attached to the people around us, instead of being attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have this desire and this need and this urge to impress those around us. And this impression can be about lots of things. It could be about the wealth I have. It could be about the amount of people that work for me. It could be about how I impressed someone in my speech, how I read. It could be so many thousands. The list can go on. So when we have this idle talk with lots of people, we become heedless. We begin to think more about people than we do about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We care more about what they think of us than what He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about us. So we look for their appreciation. We look for people's praise. We even look for their envy. Subhanallah, this is the dark state of our hearts can fall into if we drown ourselves in the company of people. This is what we can become if we spend a long time speaking with people. So as a general rule of thumb, we should avoid conversing too much with people, especially when the topic of our conversation is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His deen. Even when we are just speaking with others, we have to ask ourselves, what is the topic of our conversation? We have to ask ourselves, why are we even having this conversation? Is it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it to please ourselves? Is it to help us fulfill the purpose of our existence, or just to waste time in this world? This is why our ulama and our scholars say that before we even utter a word, we should first say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Commence every conversation, every meeting with Bismillah. This way, even our conversations with people will become part of our ibadah, part of our worship, part of our servitude to our Rabb. Otherwise, if we just idly speak with the people about this world, if we just make this world as the topic of our conversation, then we might become like the man whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes here. Shaytan will come to us in the midst of our conversation and make us to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will make us to praise ourselves. Remember that this was what he did. This was his crime. This was the beginning of his fall. He made a statement in the divine court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he was better than Adam alayhi salatu was salam. Now in order to save ourselves from becoming like him, like shaytan, we have to save ourselves from heedlessness. In order for us to be saved from becoming like the person who had this garden and he started boasting, we have to save ourselves from being heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to save ourselves from forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best way to do this is to avoid idle conversation with people. The one is to make a ruling, to give advice that don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. But how do we achieve that? Don't. The best way in this circumstances is avoid idle conversation with people. We have to make certain that our companions are those pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we speak with them, we speak words pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, many a times, in the world of materialism, in the world of consumerism, in the business world, and in all our dealings and all our activities, we sometimes are in a company of people that are either more worthy than us in material, or people that are aiming to have more than us. And in those circumstances, we should always be cognizant that we never become heedless of the all-empowering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should always consider the conversations we have in such gatherings and never have words that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another lesson that we can take from this ayah is to see the areas in which people can have this arrogance. It is in wealth, and it is in the respect that one commands among people. With regards to wealth, it is very clear. Wealth does not only include money. It also includes property, cars, jewelry, servants, land, business, anything that is a source of richness. anything of this world that can be considered to be of value. This is the first source of arrogance. The more that one has of this world, the greater is the propensity for one to be among the arrogant. But when we are given so much of this world, when everything that we need comes to us so easily and without much effort on our part, then we tend to forget this fact. We begin to think that we are self-sufficient. We think that the bounties will keep on coming to us. We either think that we ourselves can secure our sustenance, or we think that Allah loves us so much that He subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to provide for us. We forget our utter need before Him, and this makes us to think that we have some worth. We think that there is something special about us, and that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all this. We forget that these bounties are a test for us. Rather, we think that they are something that we are entitled to because of how wonderful a person that we may be. And this is the trap that we can fall into when we are given more and more and more of this world. This is why, even though wealth is not evil in itself, wealth is not evil in itself. It is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet we still need to tread carefully if we are among those who have been blessed with this bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll repeat what I'm saying. Wealth is not evil in itself. But we need to always tread carefully if we are among those who have been blessed with wealth. The other area in which arrogance can appear is in the respect that one commands among people, or the respect that one thinks that one has among people. There are two things here. One is you people show respect to you, and the other is you think that people are showing respect to you. And this is another area of arrogance, because many a times people might show respect to you, but many a times in your presence they may show respect to you, but you don't know what happens behind your back. So you may think that one has respect among people. Not just the respect, but the envy or the admiration of people is also another area that can be a means of arrogance. The Arabic word, wa'azzu nafara, and I have more than you in nafar, which Allah uses here. Nafar generally means to spring into action, to jump or to leap. It is also used in Arabic sometimes to describe an antelope that springs into flight when a lion approaches. And this is a kind of response that many of us like to elicit in the hearts of others. We want their hearts to lead and jump into admiration and excitement when they just see us. And subhanallah, Allah has used such a beautiful word, nafar. The imagery of when a lion is about to make a kill and the animal sees it and the way it springs up. The word nafar actually even denotes that. So it is in our hearts, we just, want that people, when they see us, they just spring up in respect and admiration and excitement of us. So we want to be the lion and they are the antelope. We want them to admire us and to look up to us. We may even want them to envy us. There are many reasons why people can look up to and admire a certain person. Perhaps for his wealth, perhaps for his properties, perhaps for his power, perhaps for his position, perhaps his intelligence, his cunningness, his wisdom, his charm, his dear character, his handsomeness, his lineage. These are but a few of the reasons why people respect or admire a person. But whoever does have this, whoever is admired and respected by the people, for whatever reason, is likely to become among the arrogant. Our nature is that we seek greatness. We seek praise. We seek admiration. If the people do praise us, even when we did not seek that praise, even if it is for our taqwa or our religiousness, even if people praise us for our taqwa or for our religiousness, or the apparent taqwa or the apparent religiousness that we exercise, then we must strive not to become arrogant because of that. We should not seek to excite the hearts of others. Rather, all that we should seek is, seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, then this should be enough for us. This demon of arrogance enters into our hearts when we have the seek and we want to seek the respect and regards of people. Or we think we do. However, unlike wealth, this is something that we should never be seeking. There's no harm in seeking wealth, but never seek the admiration of people. We should never be seeking the praise and the admiration of people. We have to always remember that praise belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only glorious and the tremendous. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the perfect and the pure. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So all the praise and all the glory should only be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we ever try to compete with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala in these, then not only would it be a lie, but it would even displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should strive not to seek any praise or respect from people, and if they do praise us, then we should always attribute their praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us what they are praising us for. And this is something that we're learning from this ayah. That when he was having this conversation with his friend, he slipped in this statement, أنا أكثر منك مالا وعز نفرا. I have more wealth than you, and I have more people and descendants than you. This was the arrogance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like. And therefore it is necessary for us to always be cognizant of this fact. Avoid idle talk, avoid the need to impress people, and in that way, inshallah, we will always remain on the straight path, learning and knowing what is required for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through whatever we had said today, give us the consciousness that the material environment that we are living in does not bring about pride and arrogance within us. May Allah guide us. Maulana, if there are any questions or anything else, we can conclude, and then we'll go on to ayah number 35 in our next session, inshallah.
Inshallah. Well, jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. We hope to speak to one another next week, Wednesday, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bamin, my engineer, Muhammad Salim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.